Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Let's get to Rodney, please. Rodney Boyd, host of Insider Talk every Sunday here on 97.1 FM Talk. Rodney, how are you?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. I'm intrigued and delighted, I guess, to hear that now the instant replay has reached the Mark Cox Show. So now,
it's about
not only
time.
In every sporting event on the weekends, but we can actually replay, rewind your segment. This is cool.
As long as it doesn't slow down the game, that's my concern.
Or change the call.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. It could.
good to be with you guys as we approach the wonderful holidays.
Great to have you on, Rodney, as usual. We are quickly approaching the new legislative session, right? That's one thing that's coming up.
6 weeks, 6 weeks. It's hard to believe 6 weeks. And, Mark, I hope you keep the tradition of covering it the first day of session, which has always been fun. But 6 weeks from now, hopefully you'll join us in Jefferson City as we convene another session in an election year.
Yeah, it'll be huge, and there'll be a lot on the line, I know, with the elections coming up at the end of the year. There's going to be even more pressure than ever on some of these politicians down there to get some of their agendas pushed through. And we usually do go down and cover that live. Last year we had, I think, the governor stop by to see us, and we had, of course, the leaders of the Senate and the House who stopped by. And it really gives people, you know, it Jeff City is 2 hours from here, and it just gives people an idea on day one of probably what the agendas are. And I think that's why we've done it every year, and we'll continue to do it.
Well, and Mark, you also remind people, we get caught up in Washington, D.C. because it gets all the headlines, but most of the politics that affects people, it's at the state level. When they pass laws about health care, Medicaid, school funding, that's what really hits Missourians in their pocketbooks and in where policy matters. So for you to remind people, hey, the House that governs you most acutely is going back into session, I think is wise and smart, and we have fun with it.
Well, if you ever are sitting at home and you need to be outraged about something, let me recommend that people sign on to the Missouri Secretary of State's website start looking at all of the initiative petitions that have been filed for next November. Now, a big bunch of them will never get enough signatures to be on the ballot, but some of them will, including a Medicaid expansion, right?
You know, it most likely will, and it's interesting because this is one that's being organized by the medical community itself. But it is interesting. It is in direct response to the fact that the legislature has said absolutely no, we won't expand Medicaid. But it goes back even further. There was a referendum on the ballot, you might remember, where I think it was 70% of Missourians said they did not want to opt into the Affordable Care Act. So you go back to the original referendum, the legislature seeing that as a clarion call not to do anything on it. And now you've got a petition that, looking at some of the polling, and I'm sure you've probably seen some of it, there's probably about 38-39% of the people polled that said they would be for expansion. So, yeah, it's Medicaid expansion and another 40 or 50 very relevant things or poised to get enough signatures to go on the ballot. And it goes to the point that you and I have talked about. So many things, so many big policy decisions are being made outside of the purview of the legislature, which in many respects is outside of the purview of the people that we elect to represent us to make state laws, rules, and regs. So now we've got medicinal cannabis, we've got Clean Missouri, we've got how we draw our lines. All these things were decided not within the walls of the Capitol, but in the voting booth, where most people had about 10 or 15 minutes to really digest what they were doing, and Medicaid expansion, some other big potential issues, are poised to do the same thing again.
Yeah, you know, I'm just looking here at the initiative petitions that have been approved for circulation, and I'm conservatively estimating that there are maybe 60 or 70 on here. Those are the ones that have been approved by the Secretary of State's office for people to go out and to try to get signatures on. They range from obviously Medicaid expansion to voter registration and renewable energy and, I mean, just recreational marijuana.
Mark, one of the most compelling things that the Secretary of State mentioned in the meeting I was in was that every one of those petitions, the ones that when they get the signatures, they get submitted, and he starts to work on whether or not they're going to get on the ballot, there is a public comment period of some appreciable time. And that period is specifically for Missourians from every walk of life, from all 114 counties, to give comments. Generally, there are almost no comments. Zero comments from anybody in the state, which tells me that this process, which was supposed to be for the people of Missouri, right? Hey, yeah. You want a right to redress your laws or policies? This is your process. When you have zero comments from Missourians, it tells me this process isn't really being run by the people. It's being run by some people, but not Missourians. And so I asked the Secretary of State, what can we do? And he said, listen, I go out, I ask people, I go on different shows, and we steal. So somebody's got to raise the fact that there's no public comment on these petitions.
Yeah, people lose. I mean, if I don't bring it up or you don't see it mentioned in the newspaper for some reason or wherever your news source is, people aren't, they have no idea what's going on and what people are trying to get on the ballot. That's got to be maddening. I mean, I know it's maddening for the Secretary of State, Ashcroft.
Yeah, and it's also maddening for us because we're expected to learn or to understand the summary of sometimes a 15, 20, 30-page petition in the voting booth on election day or the eve of election, or because Mark Cox said, hey, understand what you're voting for. It's a challenge. It's something we've got to address if we're going to continue to have a very open and easy process for amending the Constitution or changing state statutes through an initiative petition. And I think we're going to keep the process the way it is, so I hope more people will pay attention. More people pay attention, and there certainly needs to be a better job of people at least commenting on what they think before these things get on the ballot.
Well, I wish they would change the way that they do it, because I think it's far too easy. Although gathering the signatures isn't necessarily easy, as we've proven, if you've got enough money to throw behind it,
then you
can get the signatures you need to get it on the ballot. Then you end up with a nightmare like Clean Missouri, and we still don't know how that's going to work itself out, right?
We don't, and you also get three different medicinal cannabis referendums on the ballot, and people are like, wait a minute, which one is which one? And then one of them names a specific individual, if it would have passed, would have been in the Constitution saying he was the cannabis czar. I mean, so you're right. If you've got enough money to get the signatures and get through the process, you can put anything before the voters. And that is something I think we all should be concerned about. We've been relatively safe. I say that because, you know, Clean Missouri created a bunch of consternation. But if you'd have had a gentleman that was able to fund a petition to put himself in the Constitution as a czar, maybe that's what it would have taken for people to say this is ridiculous. I think we got to take a look at this process. I think the legislature has been hesitant because there are folks on all sides that like using the process. But I just think there comes a point where if you're amending the Constitution every 2 to 4 years because some people can raise money to get signatures, maybe that process isn't as healthy as we think it is.
No, and you know, I kind of glossed over this earlier when you mentioned it, but on Medicaid expansion, for example, it may be on the ballot. People may think, well, that's a great idea. That's something that I want to vote for. The reason that legislators pushed back on this and denied it all those years ago is because they knew what was going to happen. It was part of Obamacare, and it was basically transferring a big chunk of this cost onto state taxpayers instead of the federal government, correct?
Right. Well, after the state, there's a part of this thing where the state gets a match from the feds, and then after that, you're on your own. So basically, there's a period where there's a federal match, and you get a bunch of influx of cash, but then after that, the state has to assume the fiscal responsibility. And so what the legislature has always said is, we don't know where we're going to get that money from on the back end. It's great to get it on the front end. So that's been a big part of it. But now the effort that is afoot now will probably pass because, quite honestly, very few people now even think about the Affordable Care Act as the Obamacare Act. I mean, Obama's been out of office. And so now people are just focusing on, hey, there's a period of time where more people get covered. And that's what's going to be the narrative around it, not what happens on the back end in terms of the fiscal note.
Yeah. Well, I hope people are paying attention. You know, yesterday, I guess we got the results yesterday. In Louisiana, John Bel Edwards retained his seat down there despite three trips by the president. In Kentucky this weekend, I understand Matt Bevin gave up his attempt to challenge the election. So they've got a Democrat will be sworn into office in Kentucky. A lot of people on the left, a lot of the media outlets in this country are acting like this is some sign of impending doom for next November. Is there any, I mean, I think it's unlikely, but are you expecting this to have any impact in Missouri?
Yeah, I think there's been a question the last couple of days, a lot of texts and calls about it. I think the impact it will have in Missouri will be nominal. What I mean by that is you're going to see in some of the areas that where independents and Democrats align around not liking the personalities of the president or some of his behaviors, maybe some of those House seats will flip. We saw that in the Gene Evans seat. But I think when you've got the way this state's set up, and all politics is local, I think it would be very tough to translate the Kentucky or Louisiana experience to the Missouri statewide, especially to the governor's race, because I think the governor's going to stand on his own merit. This is not a governor that was leaning on President Trump to get to office and probably won't be leaning on him to stay in office. So I think there'll be some seats that will flip in some of the inner ring suburb areas, but not enough to change the landscape in Jefferson City from my perspective. Now, time will tell. We've got, obviously, about a year to go. But I wouldn't get overly comparative with Kentucky and Louisiana in our Missouri statewide race. But, you know, we'll see what else happens in the weeks and months to come. It creates a lot of interesting chatter because people think, well, now there's a blue wave. And we've heard this blue wave stuff before. It turns out to be a pretty flat sea.
Yeah. Rodney Boyd, our guest this morning. Rodney, I have a question for you. Something that has, pardon the pun, flown under the radar here is this Hyperloop story. Now, is it my understanding that Elijah Haar is sort of on board with this?
No, sort of on board is an understatement. Elijah Haar thinks this is a great opportunity for investment and innovation and an idea. There's some funding that's floating out there for the right plan. And it didn't really start with Elijah Haar. If you remember, when
right.
we dropped our proposal for the Amazon headquarters, either in St. Louis or Kansas City, the state thought one compelling deal was we could sort of create this Hyperloop that would connect St. Louis, Columbia, and Kansas City so that people could work for Amazon in any of the areas and get back and forth across the state in roughly about an hour. So I think what's happened is there was some planning and some thoughts about Hyperloop, but I think the speaker probably thought those plans had some credibility, and then there's some some funding opportunities for the right plan. So, yes, sir.
Wow. I mean, that's a bundle of money. Here we are in St. Louis debating the $52 million spent on the Loop trolley and whether or not that was a good idea. And what would do we have even have a dollar amount attached to this Hyperloop? It's in the billions, isn't it?
No, I'll get a better answer for you for next Monday because I think it's worth having the real number. But it is. It's a very expensive proposition.
Yeah. I mean, I know a lot of people that would just love the idea of crawling into a little egg and making it to Kansas City in 45 minutes. But honestly, that seems so far from reality. I'm a little surprised that conservative Republicans at the state level are interested in something like this.
You know, I think it's for you should invite the speaker to come on and talk about what's drawn him to this, because I think it is something that merits a lot more conversation. I'm a skeptic as to whether or not it will ever happen, but doesn't mean it shouldn't be. We shouldn't have a full orbed conversation about it.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
I didn't buy it when we had it in the Amazon proposal. I thought it was a bit too. I thought it was a bit too Jetsons for Missouri and for reality. But
well,
what do I know?
Well, and again, it's we debate all the time how much the state should be taking tax dollars and investing it. We've still got roads and bridges that are falling apart, and here we are looking down the road at a tube that stretches from St. Louis to Kansas City.
Yeah, a little bit too Jetsons for me, but
yeah, picking winners and losers. That's the debate that we have all the time with some of these tax dollars.
Yeah, I mean, and that's going to be a big part of, I think, the conversation next session is tax policy again.
Right.
The Wayfair tax is an issue that most listeners don't know much about because it's sort of stalled. But there's an issue about collecting taxes on internet sales. And the fundamental question is, if you collect those taxes, what will we do with them? Will we offset current tax burdens, or will we spend the money on other things? and leave the tax levels where they are. That's the crux of the debate. It will be, I think, a significant debate next session because we've got to do something on the Wayfair tax issue. The question becomes, what shall we do?
Well, Rodney, listen, I appreciate it. We'll talk more about the Hyperloop next week. I didn't mean to catch off guard with it, but
it's a worthy topic, and I need to do my homework, and we'll come back and have a full-up conversation about the loop.
All right, buddy, have a great week.
Thanks.
All right, Rodney Boyd there, host of Insider Talk, noon to 1 here on 971 FM Talk every Sunday. So be sure and tune into that. Rodney covers a lot of local issues in that, and he's kind of got his finger on the pulse of what's going on in Jeff City.